practice a while back, but it will be a great refresher to kind of get me back into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you want to start by practicing on me, being that you've been through it once already?
Well, I don't mind. I'm more than happy for you to practice on me, because I will confess to being out of practice with this, but it's completely up to you. I'm more than happy to go first if that's some.
Yeah, go on then. Go on.
Okay. And just to recap, because I wasn't on the call, we're using the question when you're coaching or something else at your best, what would you like more of? And then the kind of the six questions.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, perfect. Just to set expectations. And would you prefer to focus on coaching or something else that you're doing at your best?
I think probably the coaching.
Okay. Shall we get going then?
Let's get going.
Okay. So when you are coaching at your best, what would you like more of?
What I'd like more of is a kind of inner confidence. I think I give lots of outer confidence, but actually inside I have these wobbles.
So inner confidence.
Yeah.
And what kind of inner confidence is that inner confidence?
It's just knowing that it's like being kind of in flow. It's just happening. I'm not kind of consciously doing anything. You know, I'm picking up on all the signals intuitively. Yeah, it's not conscious.
Is there anything else?
I just know that what I'm doing, how I'm coaching, it's right. It's the best way. And there's no kind of inner chatter going on. It's kind of going, oh, perhaps you should have said this, perhaps you should have asked that.
So there's
none of that kind of inner chatter going on. I'm just completely there with the client, knowing that I'm asking the right things.
What kind of completely there is that completely there?
It's totally, totally committed to what's going on for the client, and just whether there's nothing else coming into it. It's again about being totally absorbed and totally there, and knowing, and sort of having that confidence that I don't get all the kind of inner chatter and self-doubt. So it's being able to be, so it's sort of shutting all that out and being totally focused on the client.
So I'm hearing totally focused on the client, a lack of inner chatter, absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
I suppose it's a sort of fascination or curiosity with the client's journey rather than distracted by again, it's that word, kind of my own sort of self-doubt or kind of inner gremlins having a go at me. So it's that kind of maintaining that complete kind of fascination and curiosity and interest in the client's journey.
What kind of fascination and curiosity is that fascination and curiosity?
It's a total interest in everything that's going on for them. Wanting to really understand them. Have not just the sort of the bigger picture, but the detail that fills that in as well. And to be wanting to kind of drill down on that, to be, I think part of it is having the confidence sometimes to drill down on some of the what might be sort of more sensitive or might be considered sometimes in a social situation to be inappropriate, but in a coaching situation is totally appropriate to drill down on.
And you mentioned confidence, the inner confidence again.
Yeah.
What does confidence feel like?
Well, it feels like it's about sort of being completely in flow or in the zone. It's just knowing that knowing that what I'm doing is right, just doing it without even having to think about it, being completely sort of, it's like a sort of automatic in what I do, and knowing and having that inner, that confidence that it's the right thing for the client at that particular time.
And that confidence,
mm-hmm.
whereabouts is that confidence?
It's in two places. It's in my head and it's in my heart. And I think it's the heart stuff is there. It's the head that gets in the way. The head kind of starts doing all the sort of chit-chat and gets in the way. The head is the one that kind of lacks it.
And that confidence in your heart,
mm-hmm.
can you sense, you know, does it have a shape or size?
I guess it's big and red and beating very strongly. It's kind of like the heart and it's beating very strongly.
And that big and red and beating very strongly in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's big and red and beating very strongly. Like what?
I don't know that it's like anything. I think it's just the kind of the beating strongly is a kind of, is the sort of representing the confidence, the strength.
So that confidence, that inner confidence is beating very strongly, like a heart.
Yeah.
Would you like to explore a bit more about what that confidence beating strongly like a heart is like?
Yep.
What else do you notice about it?
It's a confidence and strength that comes from within. It's inside me, and it flows through all of my body.
That confidence and strength from within, which flows through all of my body. That sounds incredibly powerful to me.
Yes, and that's it is powerful, and that's kind of when I'm coaching at my best. That's what I want more of. And I know it's there. It's just the head sometimes gets in the way.
So when you're coaching at your best, it's like confidence and strength flowing through all of your body. And that metaphor of the heart, big red, beating very strongly, is that a helpful one to connect with?
Yes, it is, yes. Because it's about, for me, it's about that kind of inner resource of having that inner confidence. And remembering that it's there. And that actually, it's that even though the head gets in the way, if the heart wasn't there pumping that resource, whether it be blood or confidence, the head wouldn't have any say in it anyway, because it'd be dead. So that's actually quite a good metaphor. I think the heart has just got to push back more when the head is trying to where head get all the negative chit chat kind of gets in control, or I get distracted by, oh God, was that the right question to ask? Oh God, perhaps I should have gone down that route, and I think I just need to turn the strength of the pump up. So yes, that's quite a helpful metaphor.
Turn the strength of the pump up. And you mentioned that chatter in the head. That chatter in the head, that's like what?
Oh, it's kind of, it's like a whole load of it's like having a whole room of children all trying to talk to you at once, but all complaining about something. And you kind of can't hear the key things for all the chatter that's going on.
A whole room of children trying to talk to you all at once.
All wanting attention.
What kind of attention is that attention?
It's saying, listen to me. It's saying, I want attention on me. It's my head saying, listen to me, listen to me. It's self-centered attention.
What kind of self-centered is that self-centered?
It's getting absorbed in my concerns and thoughts rather than the client's.
Whereabouts is that self-centered?
Oh, that's in the head. Very much in the head. What are the self-centered chit-chats going on? It's the kind of worrying, the kind of negative kind of, but listen to me, I've got a problem, I've got a concern. So it's quite good to think about it in terms of sort of the head versus the heart. And the heart, this strong pump. And it is one of my challenges. I know my head tends to get in control a little more often than I'd like it to. Not just in coaching, but in everything else.
So you're coaching at your best when your
Heart
heart
is in control.
can silence your head. Yeah, your heart can be in
Yeah,
control.
it's not so much about the heart in terms of sort of being warm and fluffy, but it's more in terms of sort of the intuitive strength, that sort of metaphor of kind of, pumping the sort of confidence and strength out and that sort of thing.
And I'm curious to explore the feeling, what this feels like when you're coaching at your best and the heart is in control. Physically, what does that feel like?
Physically, it's almost as though I'm not noticing anything because it's just happening. That's whatever I'm doing or saying is automatic, so it's unconscious. So it's almost like I'm not noticing anything. It just happens.
The confidence feels completely automatic. It just happens. We have about 5 minutes left, and I was wondering what might be useful for you to explore from here.
I actually think, Claire, that that metaphor of the head and the heart is actually a really good place to kind of leave it, because it's helped me kind of clarify that for myself and how to work with that.
And when you said the heart being big, red, beating very strongly, and it's flowing through all your body, that metaphor of the heart and the pump, the strength, turning the strength of the pump up.
Yeah. And it's almost like, we don't notice our heart beating. And
But we notice if it stopped.
Sorry?
But we'd notice if it stopped.
Yes, but it is our kind of lifeblood. And it is that it just happens, and I think it's about knowing when to turn the strength of the heart up, the pump up, to silence the chitter chatter in the head, some kind of conscious stuff. So thank you for that.
Not a problem. I have one final question,
which is,
and what would you like to happen now?
What I need to happen now, what I'd like to happen now is to have a challenging client to work with where my chit-chat gets in the way and I can successfully turn the strength into pom-pop.
I can attempt to be that challenging client then.
So, yes, thank you. That would be a very okay place to finish.
Thank you. Given we've finished early, do you want to do some quick, how was that for you?
Yes, shall we do that? And then we can... I thought it was really good. It wasn't where I thought I was going at all, which was quite interesting. And I found, the analogy, sort of coming up with that analogy of the heart, and I thought you were very good at the pacing and sort of putting back in what words I was using. The only thing I'd say I wasn't sure of was when you started taking me to explore what was going on in my head and the sort of negative chit-chat, once we got to the point of the strength of the heart, and I'm not too sure if that was because we had some time left over and you felt kind of use the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the way that we haven't explored, one of the layers that suggests you go through is about feeling. And I was wondering whether to anchor the metaphor. I can't get you there through this one. I'll try the other one. And I know there's kind of a no-go with negative stuff unless you can flip it to the positive. So I thought given this was a practice, I would adventure. But I agree with you. It doesn't work. You don't want to.
I'm not saying it. I don't know. I felt a little bit kind of suddenly jumped to it. We kind of switched suddenly from the heart to the head, and I just kind of felt, oh, okay. Whereas I was actually quite enjoying, I think maybe having done a little bit more pushing on the kind of maybe sort of the feelings of the heart. Trying to maybe pull out of me how they, you know, how it would feel if it was pumping really strongly and pushing back on the head or something. But I felt a little bit jumped at that point.
No, I completely agree with you. I think what I found difficult about this session is I can completely empathise with your head versus heart and having a list of questions that you're meant to ask in a specific way gives my head a field day. So my head's like, well, we've got time left and you haven't got the feelings that way. So what about trying it this way? And I find it very difficult to be totally present with the client and in flow whilst this list of questions isn't yet automatic. But even when we were asking them on the positive side, to me, I felt awkward. I was like, she's just going to think I'm daft. You know, my head chatter was, I'm really asking what kind of this is this. You know, she's going to tell me it's in the heart. She's just described it. Of course she is. So I found the head chatter really strong, but I was trying to rigidly, I had the questions open in front of me. I was like, trying to really stick to them because they do seem to work. But I felt quite awkward using them to start with, being honest.
So that's really interesting in that we've been paired together and what I was talking about was really
resounding with me.
Resounding for you, yes. And it's one of the reasons I kind of wanted to do the clean language is to, you know, to be able to kind of just totally, you know, let go of all the chatter that's going on in the head, if you like, and sort of just be able to sort of focus on what's coming up for the client, not trying to think, okay, so how do I formulate my next question? Now, is that the right one to ask or should I ask this one? And it's like, no, I'm not right there for the client. And then I'm thinking, what did the client say?
So that's interesting because it's the freedom of having a prescribed list of questions mean your head is just focusing on this is the next question to ask rather than generating the question.
Rather than, so where am I going to take this? How am I going to ask a question around that? Well, I could do that. And in the meantime, I'm not actually hearing at that really deep level what the client's saying. Because I'm multitasking.
No, that's great. That's great feedback going down. More feelings around the, what does it feel like when the heart pumps stronger and pushes back on the head?
And maybe then to kind of take it into how would the head feel?
Ah.
You know, when the heart pushes back, what does the head, you know? Or something like that. I don't know. I sort of felt a little bit jumped. There didn't seem to be the connection kind of wasn't quite there.
I put my hand up and say I forced you into it. But I've got a bit more material from earlier on. I'll see if I can use Okay. Well, perhaps there's two questions that you could think about after this, or we can talk about if we've got a bit more.
Yeah. Time. Yeah.
What does it feel like when the heart pumps stronger?
Yeah.
And how does the head feel?
Hmm.
As I suspect, the head will actually feel calmer.
Yes, and also around, you know, how can you turn the pump up stronger when the head is trying to get control? Mm-hmm. Mind you, they might not be in these clean language questions at the moment. I might be jumping ahead there.
Well, they're not in Office 6, but they're all about the kind of, what's that like?
Yes, yeah.
Where is it, you know, what does it feel like? Where is it? Does it have a shape or size? Mm. But it then moves on to being, what would you like to happen now? And actually,
yes.
maybe it's actually that I was aware that we'd come to a natural ending. But I was like, I kind of want to do some more practice. So that actually, if I'd have gone to the, and what would you like to do with that now? That would have actually opened up a whole new set of metaphors on how one turns the pump up.
Yes. Yes, rather than you taking it into the head to, you know, going with what I said about the head is actually... Yes, that would. I think that would have probably worked better.
Yeah, the coach had an agenda.
Okay, so are you ready to have your go?
Yeah, that'd be great.
So, when you're coaching at your best, what would you like more of?
Huge danger, I'll just repeat everything that you said, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes differently. More calm.
And what kind of calm is that calm?
It's a peace, a stillness. Like a sort of a gently lapping sea, as opposed to a very choppy one with the wind blowing over it.
So it's a peace, a stillness, a gently lapping sea.
Yeah, that gently lapping sea is very powerful image.
Okay. And when you have this gently lapping sea, is there anything else about the gently lapping sea?
Oh, there is actually. I'd just seen the sea at first, but as you said that, it made me zoom out. And I can see that it's blue sky and there's a couple of birds tweeting and there's the sea being calm means that there are other things that I notice going on. So it's warm. It's warm weather. There are a couple of birds flying around. I want to say that the sea is happy. There's a playfulness about it.
And what kind of playfulness is that playfulness?
Hmm. got movement, just a gentle movement, a cheekiness to try and to challenge and to see where things go without needing to be right.
Mm-hmm. And when there is that cheeky playfulness, the challenge, is there anything else about that cheeky playfulness and challenge?
It's very light.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
A light-footed dance. Where you're not kind of, you're moving around an area,
mm-hmm.
or over an area, as opposed mm-hmm. to being fixed in one.
So it's like a light-footed dance.
Mm-hmm.
And you're moving around and over an area.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else about that light-footed dance?
Yes, there is. Well, I'm dancing with someone else.
Mm.
And I'm dancing not necessarily with, but around
mm-hmm.
the client and encouraging them to dance too.
Mm. So you're dancing.
An invitation to dance, yeah.
So you're dancing with and around your client.
Mm-hmm.
It's an invitation to dance.
Mm.
And what kind of dance is that dance?
You'd laugh. It's a good job we haven't got it on the Skype video phone here, because I've actually stood up in my room, slightly moving around. It's a gentle sway. It's a transference of weight from one foot to the other. And just a gentle shifting of weight from hip to hip or foot to foot.
Ooh. Okay, so gentle shifting of weight from hip to hip and foot to foot.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else about that gentle shifting of weight?
Just it feels very natural. It feels like a way of using the energy without
mm-hmm.
creating huge movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like keeping the energy level there without
mm-hmm.
creating rigidity or forcing that energy somewhere.
Mm-hmm. So it's about keeping the energy there without forcing it.
Mm-hmm.
Without the rigidity.
Mm-hmm.
And whereabouts is that energy?
Well, I thought from our earlier conversation I was about to say heart, but I don't think it is in this case. It's almost like solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of where your sort of diaphragm is.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Because actually this is about courage.
Hmm. Wow. And what kind of courage is that courage?
It's a daring, but it's a quiet daring. It's not a in-your-face war cry. It's a quiet confidence.
Okay, so quiet daring, a quiet confidence. And when you have this quiet daring, quiet confidence, is there anything else about this quiet daring or quiet confidence?
It makes me feel bigger, taller, kind of broader shouldered than I am. It's almost like I feel the size of me and, I guess, my aura or my impact rather than just my physical being, but in a very gentle way.
So when you feel the size of this aura, this impact, whereabouts is that aura, that impact?
Well, it's all around me. That's I feel it most strongly, almost like big wings, kind of reaching out from my shoulder blade, but then kind of moving upwards, almost swept out upwards. So the sensation is almost like an egg-shaped one all around me, because I suppose it's a balance of groundedness and these wings, that if there were just the wings, it would be wrong. But yes, it's all around me, but the sensation is particularly strong in my back.
And when you have these big wings, that strong sensation in your back, that's like what?
Well, what's interesting is when you said wings, it made me think, oh, I should be flying, and it's not about having wings in order to be able to fly. It's the feeling of power that these wings can create. You know, the feeling that, you know, flap them once or twice and you lift off the ground. But it's being aware of that strength, but choosing not to use it, or not using it unless it's what's it like? It's this quiet confidence and this awareness of extreme power that will only be used sensitively. Almost got the image of like a King Solomon or something like that. Of this kind of this wisdom and of this influence, which I guess you could use maliciously, but that won't ever be used that way.
So quiet confidence, extreme power, wisdom. And is there anything else about that quiet confidence, extreme power, and wisdom?
Quiet confidence, extreme power. Wisdom. It's very I don't know the right word for it. It's very it's not going to go away. It's very old, enduring. But none of those are the right words. It's been around for a long time, and it will be around for a long time. And it's not really mine. It's just something that I tap into, or that as coaches we tap into when we're coaching.
Okay.
It's like this age-old wisdom that we sort of have access to, or this kind of much more wise, all-seeing part of ourselves, that when we find that kind of stillness is there.
And whereabouts is that stillness of old age wisdom?
The sensations are still very strong in my shoulders, but it's almost like a pillar going down the back of me from way up above my head, right way down, like a big stone pillar, because that will be cold and this is warm, but like a round grey stone pillar that runs almost like the length of my spine you know, deep into the earth and deep up, that I'm just almost when my back is stood against it, I'm connected to it. And there's something lovely about the pillar provides support for my body as well. It's almost like I'm resting against it, but stood up.
And when you have the support from that pillar, you're resting against it but stood up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else about that pillar?
It's that the pillar is where it is. I don't need to move, and if I moved, the pillar wouldn't come with me. And it also that I'm not, it's my pillar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, it's not like I have to compete with anyone else to get share of the pillar. We've got our own.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I'll be going and saying hello to my pillar on a regular basis.
And whereabouts is that pillar?
It's in an open space that it's quite dusty, it's quite dry. Almost like, you know, you're going to a, not a ruin, but a temple or a forum or something like that that was built an awfully long time ago. And then this is one of several pillars around this wide open space. I can't actually even see the other side of quad or whatever it might be, but there's an awareness that there are other pillars there, but I can't, and this is one of several pillars, but this one's mine.
And does that pillar have a shape or a size?
Yeah, it's I think the most interesting thing is about the size. It's almost, It's not huge. It's I've got my hands sort of not if I kind of reached round with my hands, you know, not that kind of tiny sort of size, but if I hold my hands open, that's almost like the pillar's like kind of in circumference is like three of my hands. So it's almost like head circumference size. And I don't, maybe it's because of the pictures back in front of me of the what looks like to be the Colosseum. Maybe I've got a Colosseum pillar in my head. But, it feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something that you can get your hands around. Maybe that's the important bit. It feels like something that you can get your hands around.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's solid, but it's in diameter, it's actually smaller than me.
Mm.
So I'm not physically dominated by the pillar. It's much higher than me, but it's, yeah.
And when you can get your hands around that pillar, that's like what?
Ooh. It's like putting your hand on a dog and feeling that it's alive inside, or putting your hand on my pregnant cousin's stomach and feeling a baby kick. It's like an awareness of the life inside, but actually it's a life inside of me rather than inside of the pillar, but it's the awareness of being alive.
And when you have this awareness of being alive, is there anything else about that awareness of being alive?
It's like the whole surface of me is tingling and sparkly, like the vampires do in the Twilight movies.
And when you go on.
No, I was just gone.
No, I interrupted you there.
No, I was just feeling that.
Okay. And whereabouts is that tingly, sparkly feeling?
It's mainly around the top of my head and shoulders. Mm-hmm. It's on my surface, it's on my skin, but the awareness mm-hmm. is particularly up my arms and particularly at the kind of the top of my head.
Mm. And when you have that tingly, sparkly feeling, is there anything else about that tingly, sparkly feeling?
It's just like a load of kind of like mini electrical connections out to almost like sensors to kind of pick things up.
Mm-hmm. And what kind?
Sorry, I can't keep doing this.
No, that's all right.
I've just got this image of being resting with my back resting against this pillar in the mm-hmm. sunshine, with almost like the surface of me sparkling.
Mm. When you are resting with your back against the pillar in the sunshine, and the surface of you sparkling, what would you like to have happen next?
Ooh, I'd like to be able to stay there.
Mm.
I'd like to be able to walk up to this pillar and lean against it every time I coach or every time I want that experience. And I don't actually want to have to go. I don't want to have to run off round the quad on the off chance that there's another pillar over there. It's like, this one's here, and can I stay?
So you'd like to stay there?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be running around the quad? So you like to...
I do a lot of running around the quad.
Okay, and is that a good place for us to bring this to a close?
Thank you.
Excellent. So how was that for you, Claire?
It was great fun. I'm, as you've probably guessed, I'm a fairly visual person. So the reason for me doing clean language is that I love working with metaphors. And my head will just kind of ping images forward. And the creation of a physical sensation rather than just a physical visual image.
Mm.
Is even more powerful than for me. I think that was my overall experience. It was just I know that the images will come really quickly, you know, sort of looking out the window or something like, in my head I see a calm sea and I can tell you what that looks like. But actually that's something external and actually the feeling, and particularly for me the questions around the and where is that and what does it look like and where it feels like really shifts something.
Mm.
It means that it's not, it's something that's about me rather than something that I'm aware of.
Mm. It's quite interesting you saying that, because the one or two times when it's intuitively, I kind of wanted to go to the and whereabouts is that and does it have a shape and size questions, but you'd actually almost answered those in the previous one.
Yeah.
You know, what you've been saying. And then I got to a point where I thought, actually, even though you've said something, I'm going to go with that. And it actually took you to a different level.
Yes, because it made me capture it.
Yes.
And explore it further, yeah.
Yeah. So my learning there was actually not to be restricted, because you kind of, you know, you sort of said you had wings on your back and thought, okay, so it's on her back, you know, so it I shouldn't have interpreted that, whereas I don't think I asked that question at that stage, and it was, we were a little further on before I then went, and whereabouts is that?
That's true, and I think when you first asked them whereabouts is that, my head's reaction was, well, it's on my back, of course.
Yes.
But actually, in you asking that question, something else automatically happened, as in I got more information. So I also learned that just because my head thought it knew the answer didn't mean that my heart, or, you know, going back to your kind of metaphor, that there wasn't more information that... Yeah, so that the questions are incredibly powerful, even if we've got the kind of logical answer already.
Yes, even if you think, okay, they've told me it's on their back or wherever, it's like, actually, no, there's more to learn from that question.
And
it's
I
more
found
the
the same
chicken.
with you when you described the heart. I was like, whereabouts is like that? The voice in my head was going, the heart.
Sits below the lungs on the left side.
Yeah. But that's when you described the pump.
Yes.
And you wouldn't have described the pump if I hadn't asked you whereabouts it was.
Yeah.
And vice
yes.
versa.
Yeah.
The things that you asked me. So, yes.
Yeah, so it's allowing that metaphor to sort of develop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not, you know, the fact is, you know, the wing, you know, the wings might be on your back, but actually they could be on your feet.
Yes. Yes.
Or coming out your ears or something, or they
yes,
could be completely
exactly.
completely detached and lifting you on a couple of pieces of string.
Yeah, it's going to be slightly trippy coaching with me.
No, that was a lot of fun because you were, there were so many visuals there. That was really interesting because I thought, God, we could go on here for ages and ages and ages. And we'll keep coming up with something. Whereas I kind of grasped my head and my heart one, and I stuck with it.
Yeah.
Whereas that was very interesting because yours really evolved and it kept on evolving and changing from sort of
but
you
that
know.
Was very similar. Yeah. Sorry.
From a calm sea.
Yeah.
You know, we went through dancing.
Mm.
To wings, to pillars.
Yeah.
And to sparkly, tingly feelings.
Yes. Which I then started laughing because I had an image of Twilight in my head.
Yes.
I was like, oh, come on, Claire, cliches and coaching. But that's interesting. I might actually just write that down. So we had the calm sea. We had the dance.
Yeah.
Which is almost like a sway.
Mm.
And then we had the wings.
The wings,
and
yes.
We had
the pillar of wisdom.
Yeah.
And then you had all the sort of tingly, sparkly feelings.
Yes.
Leaning up against the pillar in the sunshine.
Well, it's incredible how powerful those images are.
Hmm. And what could I have done better there? What could I have done differently?
There was nothing that jumped out to me that particularly jarred. I think the point that you've just raised about going with the questions, even if I've already stated them, I think that's a bit towards the end. I think I felt like we moved faster.
Yeah.
Through, I don't mean pace-wise, I meant through the exploration. And there's maybe something a little bit around confidence just to go with one of the words or the metaphors. I think there was once where, I can't remember what it was, you reflected back to me where it sounded like you weren't sure which bit to pick up.
Yeah, I stuck about three of them in there.
But that's fine. I don't think it matters what you pick, but it's just picking it and going with it. I'm sure I do.
Yeah.
Exactly the same, but just rather as an observer rather than a participant, I think that it's important to stick to the question, but what bit of a metaphor you pick up actually doesn't matter because there's a thousand routes to explore.
Yeah, yes. I felt a bit clumsy at that point.
Well, I can imagine it was tricky working with me because there were so many metaphors and they were kind of almost, they had a life of their own. And so I imagine the challenge was in knowing when just to let me get on with it and when to intervene. And if I'd been sat on the other side, I'd have been sat thinking, but I want to be a good coach and I want to ask my questions. And sometimes almost if the client is self-coaching.
Yes, I don't think it wasn't kind of tricky working with you. I think being the first time we've worked together, I think my lesson from this would be if we worked together again, I'd give you kind of longer times with the silence because there are a few couple of times when I started to ask a question because you've been silent for a little while and we both started speaking at the same time. But I think you're right is that I kind of felt very clumsy when I kind of, you know, sort of said, and when X is happening, Y is happening, and Z is happening. is there anything else about X, Y, and Z? And it was like, oh, this thing is very wordy and complicated. And you're probably thinking, so which one should I pick up on?
Well, it works anyway, because actually, I guess my brain could only cope with one of them, and it picked up on whichever one I wanted to pick up on. But the first part of that sentence, the when X, Y, and Z, felt a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
But then when you said which bit of X, Y, and Z, I was just like, okay, I'm, you know, it's almost like my brain picked one.
Yeah.
Fine. But yeah.
And I remember now I was sort of having that conscious moment of, do I give her one or do I give her all three so she can choose? You know, which one shall I do? Which one shall I do? Oh, I'll just blurt out all three. And I've kind of gone into that kind of conscious head taking control.
Yeah.
And that's actually, I remember now thinking when you actually went with one, I thought, oh, yeah, that's probably the one I'd have picked anyway if I'd listened to heart. Excellent.
So we've just gone 10:02, I think. So
we've
come off the phone very soon. We've got a minute or two before she.
Yes, she'll want to. Well, she'll need to stop us recording anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you live by the sea?
Sorry. No, I grew up by the sea.
Oh right, because you said you could see the calm sea or something, and I thought maybe.
No. Gosh, that would be nice. Now I'm looking out over a roof over Putney.
Oh right.
Whereabouts are you?
The Isle of Wight.
Oh, lovely.
So, not today, it's not. Probably like you, it's pouring with rain and a howling gale.
Not pouring with rain, but it looks like it might. I'm actually in the Isle of Wight in a couple of weekends' time.
Oh, are you? What are you doing down here?
Coming to the Grange for a yoga weekend.
Oh, right. Ah. Now, which Grange is that? The whereabouts?
Shanklin.
Okay, yes. Is that being run by Emma Brading, she's remarried, and I can't remember her new name.
Oh, I don't know. I did a two-week holiday in Greece.
She does those too, yes.
Okay, yeah. So it's a guy called Ken Ironman who taught the yoga when I was out there, and a bunch of us are kind of meeting up for a reunion to try and pretend we're still in Greece.
Oh, right, okay, it's probably not one of Emma's then. So, yeah. No, there's a lady down here who does various yoga bits and also runs retreats in Greece and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You'll have to give us a call.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll ping you an email with, I think you might have my contact details on our emails anyway.
I'm not sure, but yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it'd be good if you get time on one of these yoga retreats, that is.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we will.
Mm.
Come and join us for a stretch if you like.
Yes, I need that at the moment. I was involved in a car accident 10 days ago.
Oh, God.
And I'm struggling with whiplash at the moment.
Ouch.
So, I had to be cut out of my car. It was all not my fault. I was stopped at a pedestrian crossing. Car behind didn't stop.
Mm. I'm sorry to hear that. And actually, if you're interested, I think the course itself is £75 for the weekend. And the type of yoga that Ken does is really restorative. It's very gentle movement, about opening up the spine and kind of gentle twists and kind of.
Yeah.
It's not hardcore stuff, but it's amazing. I've got quite stiff upper and lower back, and I found it incredible for that. And it's a lovely thing to do at a weekend. So.
What date is it?
I think it's the 20-something. 22nd, 23rd, or
20. Oh, no, I'm up in Norwich running a sports psychology workshop that weekend.
There you go.
So I won't be around either.
There you go. That's all right.
Never mind.
Well, I suppose you can get off the phone and leave them after her line back, but feel free to give me a bell or an email, because it's lovely.
Okay. Well, great, great. It's working with you, and we'll be speaking out.
Thank you very much.
Talking again on Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. My pleasure.
All right.
Take care, Claire. Bye.